Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, September 2nd. I'm Ray Graff. Let's pass the salt. How about a little pepper? Well, we'll talk today about the art of seasoning food and how it can enhance your culinary experience. We have seasoned season experts in the studio today. Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel are here. They're the proprietors of Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts, and they produce an extensive variety of salts and seasonings that are sold all over the region. So let's spice things up today. If you have a question about seasoning, I got to tell you, these two are the experts. They have brought many, many, many things to try and to taste. Give us a call now, 800-348-2551. I'll do the tasting. You do the talking. It's Vox Pop Fine Food Friday, and we'll be back. Well, the wine has been poured. The food is on the table. It is time for a Vox Pop Food Friday. I'm Ray Graff. We talk seasoning today, you know, adding some salt, some herbs, some spices to your food. But as we will learn today, it can be much more than that. Salt can draw water from a dish, draw out the water, magnifying the flavor. Pepper and basil add a little extra flavor. That's just the tip of the iceberg. We have experts here, and they roll their eyes when I say it. But they're experts, and I know it. Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel started growing garlic on a whim at their Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Soon they found themselves purveyors of highly sought-after varieties of garlic salts, mixes, rubs, and spices, and great labels that are legendary. They are here today, so pass the salt. Give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. And once again, the number is 800-348-2551. Tony and Darby, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, glad to be here.
Well, you brought a tremendous array of things here, and the studio smells lovely. The spices are great. How did you get into this?
Growing too much garlic was a reason for this. I've loved to cook and mostly eat. I fancy myself as a glutton also.
So. Oh, good. Well, me too. So
that's
it works out.
I brought plenty of food for
welcome
everybody.
Welcome aboard.
I grew lots of garlic, and 6 years ago, I planted quite a bit of garlic, 2,000 cloves, and I bought a garlic book for $80, pictures and stuff in it, but there was a nice little story publications, 32-page pamphlet. They had 14 pages of recipes, 14 pages of all you want to know about garlic, but one of them was make your own garlic salt. I still feel my face lighting up, so that I can do that.
Well, why did that excite you?
Well, because I had a lot of garlic. I had to do something with it.
What do you do with 2,000 garlic?
Well, you find a vampire, clearly.
True.
It come out good, and I made garlic rosemary. Then I made Scarborough Fair, which is parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme, with nothing to do with garlic. And my sent some to my sister in Arizona. She says, you ought to be selling this stuff. Yeah, I can do that. And I gave it to a bunch of friends and sold it some little 4-ounce, you know, cannon jars. And
yeah.
I said, you know, I got to get some grinders. I found a nice place. Luckily, I got hooked up in the beginning with a fellow in Canada who sells to me the bottles. But the grinders are made in South Africa. It's a quality grinder that's adjustable, coarse or fine, usable 4 or 5 times. Then we're off and running. I keep getting these dreams about this kind of garlic, hot garlic, garlic rosemary, plain garlic, roasted garlic, Darby's Garlic Festival, which has 4 kinds of our garlic salt in it.
Really? Now, Darby, you put up with this? Okay.
I do, but it took me 4 or 5 years before I got a salt in my own name. We have a whole line of Tony salts.
But so now, finally.
Now we have my salt.
But yours is probably the best, right?
It is. And I.
No, Tony's is.
Tony's is better?
Is Tony's.
All right, we'll have to try them later.
But she says, how come there's nothing named after me? And I said, well, nothing worthy. And we've had this mixture, and says, we do have it. I got one for you.
Oh, boy.
There's a good salt.
And I let everybody smell it at shows and things, and they all love it.
So you take your wares around the region?
We do farmers markets. Wednesday to Sunday, we got 10 different farmers markets. We got the 3 big garlic festivals coming up. The Vermont Garlic Festival this weekend's a goodie. It's going to be a great weekend for it. We do the Hudson Valley Garlic Festival in Saugerties the first weekend of October, the Connecticut Garlic Festival, the second weekend of October, that draw lots of just people who love garlic. So we have 10 different kinds of garlic salt. We have hot pepper salts and stuff like that.
Hot pepper salt, eh?
Oh.
And I see one over there across the table, and I'm sure you'll get to this eventually. Cornfest Pop and Cob Corn Topping. What's
Delicious.
That all about?
don't ruin your corn with or popcorn with table salt. It's only sodium and chloride. Where sea salts all have 82 minerals and elements, 60 that your body needs and really assimilate every day.
Yeah.
So it tastes so much better. Well, I got the idea to infuse some maple into it, made a nice mix. Then we did honey into it. Now I mix it honey and maple. It's a killer. It's pop and cob corn topping. So just having that, you don't even need butter or anything else.
Well, I could see it on popcorn, but really on corn on the cob?
Corn on the cob's
killer.
Really?
Absolutely. Lately, I eat corn on the cob almost every day because it's the thing to do at this time of year.
Yeah.
And I use that, and it is delicious.
Really?
Yep.
We're at the farmer's markets, and we get a steady supply of fresh corn.
You two really are seasoning zealots, aren't you?
We love it. Oh, yeah.
We're joined today by Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel, and they are with the Rock Hill. Why the name Rock Hill, by the way?
Rolling Rock.
Rolling Rock. I should say.
Well, I was a Rolling Rock fan for 25 years. When back in the late 70s, we go to buy Rolling Rock beer.
The beer, you
beer.
Mean. Yeah.
The beer.
I was
named my farm
myself.
After 1980, and that just stuck on that. It's easy to remember. It's Rolling Rock Farm. Rolling
I don't know
Rock
if you
beer.
Should say that on the radio. Maybe the Rolling Rock people will come after you.
But come on.
All right.
We'll take them on.
Well, I tell you what. Speaking of come on, let's take a couple of phone calls on 800-348-2551. We'll start out with Lee in Ulster. Lee, you're on.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Nice to hear your voice. Years ago, a friend gave me a packet, not in the original package, of something called French salt. And at the time, I didn't know enough about salt to know. The stuff was spectacular. It was so flavorful. Is that actually a specific product? Does it have a particular mineral content, or was it just a company name? I've never been able to find it.
There's 1,000 different kinds of French salt, believe it or not. And there's different regions in France that they can tell where the region came from. But we have a French gray salt, which it dissolves in your tongue a little bit quicker. It's sought after. It's also called a damp salt because there's a little bit of dampness into it. But it's a great salt. It's a different Hawaiian salt, red Hawaiian, black Hawaiian, French gray, all dissolve in your tongue a little bit quicker. Most French salt is made by an art form of raking up the water on a clay shore, and they let it dry and scrape it off of that to harvest it. But it's big in France. Everybody knows where to go when they go to France, they bring it back. But even among the different regions, it's...
How did you learn all this?
Read. Yeah.
So you're an expert on salt.
I love to read and just devour as much as I can.
Amazing.
We know far too much about salt.
My only regret in life is I'll never live long enough to read all I want.
Well, if you keep eating salt, I don't know. Hey, Lee, thank you for the call.
Well, thanks so much for the info.
Appreciate it. 800-348-2551. Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel are here. We talk seasoning today, and not just salt. You have all sorts of things here. You brought a lot of food, too. What did you bring?
Oh, we heard you like to eat, and I like to eat, too.
Yeah?
The doctor informed me he thinks it's a boy and a girl. He said it looks like twins.
Yeah.
We should try something.
Fresh vegetables. We got kibasa. We got salmon.
Oh, man.
We got hanger steak.
This is
tomatoes,
great.
Tomatoes, cucumbers, smoked cherry wood, smoked garlic minced covered cheddar cheese. We have smashed potatoes that we're going to put black truffle salt. I don't make. I just buy that to resell, but I changed the name of that to F and Magic because there's no F-bomb or adjective to describe how good
that
salt is.
This is public radio, right? You
know
that,
right?
That's
as far as I'm going. Don't worry.
I got my hand up the button. Don't worry. Hand on the dump button. Let's go back to the phones, and then we'll take a short break around 20 after, and then we'll start to dine.
Let's eat.
Right.
I'm ready.
Let's go to Ellen in Buckland, Mass. Ellen, you're on.
Yes, I'm eating. I'm sorry. How long can I keep herbs? And does it vary from one spice to another?
I love that question.
Herbs you can keep till they'll get kind of punky or kind of wet or damp. They stay, the color stays good with them, and they stay kind of dry. You can shake them in a bottle, they're good. But most salts and peppers and spices you buy, especially peppercorns, you throw out every year. If you have them in a shaker over a year, and go through your spice cabinet, shake them. If the stuff is caked up or stuff, throw it out because it ruins your food. Why waste time cooking good food and putting crap on it?
So to speak.
Okay.
All right, Ellen, thanks a lot for that call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. James in Springfield, Mass. James, you're on.
Hi. I got a question. I have, maybe it's an allergy, maybe it's just a digestive problem with very commonly used ingredients like garlic, onions, chives, leeks, shallots, basically anything in the allium family, maybe lemongrass I could tolerate. And I was wondering what you would substitute, because every recipe I see has, four onions and five cloves of garlic called for.
I'm sorry to inform you there's no replacement for garlic, onions, or shallots. We encounter several people at all the shows we go to and markets and festivals that I can't have garlic. Garlic doesn't agree with me. I love garlic, but I can't have it. I don't know what to tell you to go with. Maybe find an herb or something that's different. Some basil, some thyme, or even parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. We have a salt that we call Scarborough Fair with those in it. Marjoram's not a bad thing to work with. Savory, that might agree with it. Maybe some of the greener things may agree with than the alliums do, but I hear where you're coming from. But to me, there's nothing better than garlic on everything. I'm sorry for
I was thinking I could take some au jus and reduce it or something and maybe keep it, you know, like a frozen bouillon cube or bouillon cube or something like that. I thought it might have maybe some of the same flavor notes without causing problems. I didn't know if anybody did that.
One of my go-tos in doing that for extra, and I add it to a few of my recipes, is some soy sauce or mushrooms blended in. That gives pretty good flavor.
I do that. Not disturb you too much. Yeah, I actually put some mushroom and some barbecue sauce, some fresh mushroom. I was surprised it was good.
Try some fruits also.
Fruit?
Cook some fruit
like
down.
Mango?
Do that. Orange, apples, pears, peaches, cherries. I do a lot with cherries. Cherry ribs, cherry on pork. Simmer that down. Make your sauce. Bring that down, thicken up a little bit, and try that on it. That's a good substitute with some good flavor in it.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
James, thanks a lot. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Darby, do you cook at all anymore? Are you allowed?
No.
Every now and then.
No?
He let me grill chicken a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm really good at that. But no, most of the time.
I was too tired.
Yeah, he was too tired. That was the only reason I got to do it.
But you're not taking my fun away.
That's what he always says.
Oh, so you really like this.
I love to cook it.
And you love to.
Mind relaxation.
Now, do you tend to all these 2,000 garlic plants yourself?
Yeah. Yes. It's not bad. Once you get them in, they come up. You know, keep them weeded. I put them in late in the fall. Usually after a couple good frosts, you should plant your garlic, which is the middle of October, a little bit later, but get two good frosts in. We were so busy with no events last year. I didn't get most of my garlic in until November 20th and 21st. But because of the weather last year, as everybody knows, I planted garlic on Christmas, New Year's, and Groundhog Day just to say I did. So it never happened again.
So how much garlic does it take to make one container of garlic salt?
I take probably 3 cloves. For 15 bottles. I can make one batch. I make them in small batches by hand, and 3 whole heads of garlic that will depend on what kind of garlic is. Some garlic has 4, 5, 6 cloves in it. Some has more cloves. But I've gotten to working with bigger garlics because it raises havoc on my hands.
It's
I peeled 350 pounds by hand last year.
Make Darby do it.
But I specialize in a purple glazer garlic, a strain called the Purple Stripe family. It's got 4, 5, or 6 cloves. It's purple skinned.
Well, look at that.
I add a beet chip to call it purple glazer for color. It's pretty, but it's a nice, honest garlic. Not too hot, not too mild. It works in everything.
I want to take a look at that bottle. We have to take a break here, and then we'll be right back with Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel. It's Vox Pop Food Friday. The number to call is 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Kern Compliance Services Incorporated, Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. National compliance and regulatory consultants for life insurance carriers and their distribution partners, kerncompliance.com. Mabee Farm Historic Site, Rotterdam Junction, presenting Power of Song, a concert celebrating music and democracy in the historic Dutch barn with Sunny Oaks, Emma's Revolution, and Magpie, September 16th at 7 p.m., schenectadyhistorical.org. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, hosting the Emma 5K and Fun Run on Saturday, September 10th, to benefit the Emma Foundation, waldorfsaratoga.org for details. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more, harolds.com. And Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com.
Pardon the extended bumper music. I was just eating cheese, and it might be the greatest thing I've ever had. Our guests today, Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel, and they are the purveyors of Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Our number here on a Food Friday. God, that's good. I mean, it's so good. 800-348-2551. What the heck is that cheese, and why can't I have a pound of it right now?
You can. A half a pound. You can take
it.
Oh,
my God, man.
I was smoking garlic one day.
We'll send you some.
And smoke roasting garlic. I make lots of bacon. I smoke salmon, make kielbasa, sausage, stuff like that. But I'm going to throw some cheese in the smoker. So I did that. It came out so nice. And lately I got into putting minced garlic on it. One batch I made, I put the garlic into some Merlot and marinated it and did that. That was just killer.
That was
one of those happy things. You find something good almost by accident. So.
Well, this is really something. And I don't know
if
I've
had these myself the first time I did it.
I don't know if I've had anything quite like it. I mean,
we do it also with provolone and
Parmesan.
Parmesan.
Oh, I think the cheddar works.
Which we didn't bring at all.
I better have a sip of wine. And by the way, it's decent wine here. You have nice wine.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
What is this?
It's from Graham Farmhouse in West Stockbridge. They're at our couple farmers markets we do. This is Starry Night Pinot Noir, which is just Starry Summer Noir.
And it's out of Massachusetts.
Oh, it's killer. I make
it's
a
delicious
salt with this also.
Yeah, we
I
do
got a Merlot
that.
Salt I make, which is good on beef, lamb, whatever you want to put it on.
And we use their wines. We like to use local whatever we can.
Whatever we can't make.
90% of everything that goes in our salts we grow or we get locally, like we made a little
local bit. Mushrooms, local alcohol we buy.
Maple syrup.
Make honey.
Our own, but we make, you know, this much.
Yeah.
Honey we have to get someplace else, but.
Well, we've done shows on New York wines, but this Massachusetts wine is really nice.
And they do Chardonnay, and they do a whole bunch of different wines.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And while we're doing that, Tony, can I have another piece of that cheese? It's 800-348.
You can have all you want.
2551. Let's go to Fred in Hurley. Fred, you're on.
Hello, good day.
Hello.
I'm sorry, I just had a call come in. I was thinking about parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine made this incredible creme sauce with parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. It was one of the most memorable dishes that I've ever eaten. And I'm wondering exactly kind of like what you would actually do to make a great parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme sauce. And, if you can give me any guidance.
Fresh is really nice to have. Those herbs I can grow pretty much lush all year round. That's a pop. We make salts for weddings also, for table favors. This, because those four herbs represent love and devotion. But as you know, there's love and devotion for the food or whatever you put on or for the couple. If I was making a sauce with that, I would take probably 50% sour cream, 50% mayonnaise, and grind it up, put it in your Cuisinart. What you want to grind it up with, and maybe some yogurt you can throw in there to whatever you want to do to whip it up for a sauce and that. But those are so nice together. Like garlic and rosemary are going to go to heaven together. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme are going to heaven together.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks,
You're
Fred.
Welcome.
We appreciate it. And I'm glad no one has bothered to sing the song because it would just be over the top here. It is a Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here. Today we're joined by Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel, and we talk spices and seasoning. The cheese, out of this world. That's a home run. I see beef over there.
Yeah, well, got your name on it.
Do you mean?
We got a salt we make. A new thing is black garlic you see on the cooking shows. It's garlic that's treated for 40 days, like 5 to 6 weeks, at 140 degrees, sealed up in like a rice cooker, and they make a device for it.
For 40 days?
Mm-hmm. 40 days. You can do it in 12 days, but your traditional recipe, it's an old Korean recipe. A Korean fellow claims he invented it 10 years ago. Others say it's a 3,000-year-old technique.
Yeah, 10 or 3,000.
It's like roasted garlic, but it comes out black, and it's almost like a tamarind or anise flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
I made this for a basis of a beef topping. I had a savory garlic shiitake beef topping with pepper, salt, savory garlic, and shiitake. That's a nice beef topping that it should be applied after you cook it or if you're roasting something ahead of time.
Yeah.
I got into the black garlic. This spring I started doing that. I mixed that with mushrooms, soy, black garlic,
black
salt and pepper, a little bit of black truffle in it. I was going to call it beef orgasm, but some girl says a wine called Sex on the Beach. Oh, get off the way of that red button.
Oh, yeah, I'm okay. Not. That's fine. We're all adults here. You can say that. That's fine.
And I made a paste out of it, how to market it. I just take out a prime rib, a steak, just lather a little bit on. But I mixed all those ingredients into a salt, and it worked out so well with additional black peppers. And we sell so much, it is better than the name. But every market we go to, people can't believe the name they crack up for.
Can we try
our writings? We can.
Yeah.
We're going to try it, in fact, because I made it. To keep it clean on the air, I call Ray's Royal Beef Topping.
Oh, you're kidding me. Let's see.
Yeah, you get your own labels.
Ray's Royal
Beef is now
You know
Ray's
what?
Royal
I always
beef
have
topping.
A beef about something, right. So this is great. So let's try it.
All right.
And then we'll get back to the phones.
Let's put it on the.
Here you go. 800-348-2551. Well, I'm very honored to have a seasoning named after me.
I'm going to hold a piece of this meat up to the microphone. See if you can smell it through the air. It works with the phone, but see if you can smell it.
Now, you know, we do have cameras. You can at least see it at WAMC.org. All right, let's try it. And then let's take a call, and then I'll chew with the mic off. That's always a good way to do it. Bonnie and Sharon, Connecticut. Bonnie, you're on. Hey, Bonnie, can you turn your radio down a little bit, Bonnie?
Okay, wait. What I have to do is close a door.
Okay,
it's
that'll
in
work.
In the other room. Hold on, just a sec.
Splendid.
Let the dog out.
We have time. that's better. Hi, Bonnie. No, it's not good. Oh, this is... all right. Well, why don't we put Bonnie on hold, and then we'll come back to Bonnie next. Let's go over to... Bonnie, hang in there. Let's go to Susan in Saratoga. Susan, you're on.
Hi, Ray.
Hello.
I got an idea for the gentleman who can't have onions and garlic and everything in the Allium family. There's an Indian seasoning called Hing, H-I-N-G. It's also known as Asafoetida. Mm-hmm. And you can buy it in Asian supermarkets. You can buy it in Indian groceries. It's a powder. It's ground up from a root or a rhizome like ginger or galanga. And it has a similar flavor profile, but it's not made from onions or garlic.
What do you think, panel?
Beautiful.
Sounds
I learned
good to
more
me.
Things from people I talk to at different markets and festivals. To talk to everybody, it's a good way to learn. Thank you so much.
H-A-N-G.
Great idea.
Thanks, Susan.
Yeah, H-I-N-G. You're welcome.
Appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. Let's see if Bonnie has her situation under control. Bonnie, are you there?
Yes. The door is closed.
Okay.
Okay. This is my question. It has to do with raw garlic in pesto. My understanding is, or I've read this and I've been told this and haven't actually checked it out, is that you can't freeze pesto with garlic in it and expect to get it decent at the other end when you defrost it. The pesto will survive, but the garlic will not, that it'll be terrible, bitter, or off in some manner. Is this the case, or am I getting, a false story from something?
Garlic doesn't freeze well. It stores well in organic apple cider vinegar. I got some stuff for 6 years going now, and the juice is so loaded with goodies in it. If you roast the garlic, you can freeze that, and that freezes well. And that might be an idea if you like a little bit of roasting flavor. And roast it without oil in it. Roast it just the garlic alone. You can get very similar. I think it should freeze well.
Pre-made pesto
and store well.
With garlic.
Pre-made pesto with garlic?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You making it yourself?
So what I basically have to do is make the pesto without the garlic, and then bring it in at the other end after I defrost it.
Roast your garlic first. You want to take stored garlic that you had?
Oh, no,
we grow ours.
Okay.
Well, roast your garlic, and then that will freeze. But as you probably know, the garlic doesn't freeze well.
Not raw.
So maybe, Bonnie, your plan is good. Make the pesto without the garlic and put the garlic in at the end when you defrost.
Yeah, we're kind of fan of the raw stuff ourselves
yeah,
here.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I heard something about, you were talking about preserving herbs or when to throw out herbs. I had heard that as long as the leaf or the spice, whatever it is whole, it lasts longer. And that once it's been ground to a powder, that's when it goes stale fast.
It does. It gets punky a little bit. Kind of get like clumps up where our leaf will stay a long, long time, but provided it's closed up and not too humid.
Right. Yeah, we keep we put our herbs in, dry them out, and then put them in jars,
nice.
A whole leaf.
Great idea.
That's how we do ours, anyways. Okay, thank you.
Bonnie, thanks. Have a great weekend. We appreciate the call. Our number here on this Food Friday is 800-348-2551. The beef was great. My seasoning with my name on it is pretty darn good
You're
stuff.
You're going a long way with this.
Exactly. All right.
You got a whole box to give away to friends.
Oh, that's very nice. You
and
know,
it's in the big king-size bottle, too.
Now, if I'm making burgers at home, say I'm grilling, would I put it on after
put
I cook?
Put it on after.
Really?
If you're doing a roast, put it on ahead of time. If you're doing a burger, sometimes I'll take the put it in, if you're mixing a burger with some peppers, onions, and such, put it in the mix.
Okay.
Then put some on after. But if you have a steak, a nice piece of meat, or a hamburger with nothing on it, cook it. If you can stand it, only flip it once and not play with it flipping around and let it sit for 3 or 4 minutes. Apply it as a finishing topping. You're not burning the spice into the meat. You're getting the full flavoring of the searing of the beef. That's a marriage made in heaven for that.
So you've done this before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
if you've got a steak that you've aged, a few people out there who know how to age some meat for a couple, 3 weeks, and you're clocking a day you're going to cook it like the next day, the night before, put a little bit of this topping on it, just a little bit, cook it, and then apply the rest later. It'll be kind of nice.
So this is the blackened garlic and a little bit of truffles and salt.
Mushroom.
Soy,
salt, and pepper.
Really nice. Really nice.
But that black garlic is just such a wonderful smell.
And you actually brought a clove
of
that, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or a head?
It's like a nice, but it's not greasy. It's like a black paste. It's incredible.
It smells delicious.
It loves red sauces. It loves potatoes, almost anything.
He made some kind of a paste out of it that we smeared on a steak. It was outrageous.
Oh, unbelievable.
Needless to say, we eat well.
You know, you're living good.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say.
Exactly.
Tony Carlotta.
I eat to live, not live to eat.
Darby Weigel, guests here on Food Friday. Back to the phones we go. And Linda in Corinth. Linda, you're on.
Good afternoon, people. I'm calling about cutting down my spices and how to dehydrate them. Would I do it? I've never done this before. This is like my lucky year with spices. And do I hang them up to dry them out, or can I use a dehydrator I got at a garage sale? A
couple ways you can do it.
And I don't,
is take them, if you want to dry, if you have a nice place, an attic or a barn or something, pull them up whole.
Uh-huh.
They'll shake the dirt off the roots, hang them up, let them dry like that. The dehydrator works very well. If you want to take and leave it, cut it down into smaller sections, put them in a dehydrator for that, works very well. You don't want to make it where it's too damp or too long so it gets moldy or something like that. But if you take the whole plant and hang it up, it works well.
Okay. How do you this dehydrator I got at a garage sale. It's all in one piece, but there's no directions. And I know you can't speak for all the dehydrators in the world, but when you dehydrate a spice, do you do the roots and the stem and the leaf, or do you just cut it off and do the stem and the leaf?
If you're just doing it most dehydrated, I cut the roots off with it. Because if you're hanging it in a barn or something like that, leave the roots on. Is it one of the ones got the racks, like 6 or 7 racks you take apart and put it around one?
Yeah.
With a dial on the top? It probably goes to 140 or 160 degrees.
Yeah.
You probably want to keep it down around 110 to 120. May take 24 hours. You don't want to get it too hot in there. And they'll stay nice and green, and they'll dry perfectly for that.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. It's a spicy edition of the show today. And Tony hasn't sworn yet. It's been great. Sally and Beckett, you're on. Sally.
Thank you. I have a question about a chicken marinade. I usually use the extra virgin olive oil, some fresh lemon juice, basil, and garlic. But my question is, how long should I leave the chicken in the marinade sauce before grilling it?
Well, about 6 years till it dries. overnight would be good.
Overnight.
It depends how pungent you want it. You don't want to keep it fairly fresh. If you have time, if you want to get to it and cook it, a couple hours will do. It depends on how pungent and how flavorful you want it.
Oh, so cook it on low then for a long period of time. Or grill it on low.
I got a wonderful recipe in that garlic book I talked about where I learned how to make the salt. There was one other recipe of doing a microwave chicken.
Really?
A roasting chicken.
That sounds good.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. And I can't believe you two would be using microwaves very often.
Well, this is unbelievable. I laughed when I saw it, and it says, you know, it's called garlic chicken. And you do it like in your 9x12 Pyrex dish. Say it's a 7-pound roaster. Put it 5 minutes on high, 11 minutes a pound at 50%. So it's like 82 minutes for a 7-pound chicken.
Right.
But cover it with, you want to season it with your salt, pepper, whatever you want, some lemon, some pats of butter, and put 12 cloves of garlic up to Kulu and send it in there. Cover it with a...
Not foil.
Not foil.
No, that's impressive to watch.
They say plastic. I put parchment paper, then plastic, so it's sealed. It comes out unbelievable.
Really?
It comes out golden
crispy.
Brown. Your juice is ready for gravy. If you want to make a soup out of it or make a gravy, it's incredible.
All right, here's an email that came in before we get back to the phones for Tony and Darby. This one came in from Alan in Colony. What do you think of Himalayan pink salt? I like it, but do you?
Of course, it's good salt.
Yeah?
It gets a lot of
press.
Why
is it pink?
It's mined from an ancient seabed about 280 million years old in Pakistan. So it's mined on the mountains that were a seabed many, many years ago.
Yeah, but this, pink is from the shells
of... Pink's from the coloration, the minerals in, the mineral content. As I said before, there's 82 minerals and elements in all your sea salts. The pink Himalayan has some of the trace elements and minerals are a little bit higher content. So it's got a good rap for itself. And I do probably half the salt I use is from Antarctic bottom waters off the southern coast of Antarctica. A third might be the pink Himalayan. I use Mediterranean, some French gray, red Hawaiian, black Hawaiian. But the pink is good, and it's very healthy for you. We saw a lot of it, and they just pick it up and grab it. I used to say you can use a white salt, but let them run with it. But
do you use use uranium salts?
No.
Good,
no.
Good.
It heated me up too much.
That would be not a good thing. Do you still drink the beer?
No.
You're off the stuff?
A little bit. I got Lyme disease. Yes.
Oh, so you can't drink the beer.
A sip of this every now and then is good for you.
Because, I mean, the spicy food with a beer, it's perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, beer with ribs, just to soften up some ribs.
You had me at ribs. Let's go to Joan in Delaware County. Joan, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling in response to a previous caller who asked about putting garlic in pesto before freezing.
Yeah.
I've done it for years, and it's perfect. You know, I just put it all in the blender, and I even actually add the cheese after it comes out of the blender, the Parmesan cheese, and I freeze everything together, and it's wonderful.
Huh, okay. Very nice. That's good. So it's worked for you, Joan.
It has worked. It's worked beautifully.
Where are you calling from in Delaware County?
Delaware County, town of Meredith.
Oh, nice to have you on board with us today. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. 800-348-2551. Before the next break, Tony... You make bacon, and I see it in a magazine. What's up with that?
It's Edible Berkshire Magazine. There's edible magazines around the country, but it's our local magazine. And I love to eat bacon. I need 3 pounds. 1 pound to warm up, half of the next pound to still warm up. I guess might get part of the third pound. But
are we related in any way?
Oh, you bet.
I got
everybody
a feeling we're related.
Bacon.
Yeah,
I knew we'd be.
It's scary.
I make it out of pork loins. I butterfly them open, so it's a very lean cut of meat. It's very inexpensive. It's easy to do.
Please tell me you brought some.
It's just no, I didn't have. I sold it all out. I didn't have any to bring over
you're
here.
Killing me, man.
But you will get some.
I'll
right,
stop by.
Well, you know what? It would go good with that cheese.
You can even do it in the oven. You don't have to have a smoker for it. You make it like a ham or something like that,
yeah.
And you can't screw it up. At worst, you have is a salty piece of pork, but it's so easy to do.
The recipe's in the magazine, right?
Yeah.
And that the magazine is called Edible Berkshires, and it is the spring 2015 issue. Yeah, issue number 12, and there's Tony's picture there, and it's called Making Bacon. So. We'll take a break here. This is one of my favorite shows ever, frankly. So far, so good. Tony Carlotto, Darby Weigel are here, Ray Graff, and you, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMT comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, including Bevel, Lafont, and Pro Design, progressive lenses from Verilux and Nikon and Maui Jim, Costa and Ray-Ban sunglasses, Sheehy Opticians.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, pekarskys.com. And the Chef Shop in Great Barrington, celebrating 25 years, offering tools and services for cooking enthusiasts, including Zwilling knives, La Crusade cookware, cooking classes, and knife sharpening, thechefshop.com.
Okay, well, I've decided. Tony and Darby, would you please adopt me? Because I've just had the kielbasa, and it's absolutely outrageous. 800-348-2551. Okay, so A, the kielbasa is great, and B, the seasoning is great. Let's talk about this.
I like Chicago-style hot dogs. I love kielbasa, too, but if you go to Chicago, the airport, you get a hot dog. It's got hot peppers on it. It's got mustard. It's got pickles, relish, everything in that. It's got some little bit of heat in it, hot peppers. So I made a topping for that because you have to – kielbasa is good as it is. But yeah, I thought I'd just help it out a little bit. So it's a spice – coincidentally, it's also my fish and chicken topping. I have it under the name of Ain't Nothing But Chicken Doo-Doo with a different word.
I'm glad you didn't say the actual word. Thank you. Appreciate that.
But we have some mustard seed in it, celery seed, a little bit of heat in it, various herbs, bell peppers in it.
So you would top this after you cook it again?
A couple ways I do it. This one, I butterfly the kielbasa open, put it on it, fold it back up, cook it like that. Sometimes I'll put some Dijon mustard in it.
Yeah.
So it's up to you how you want to do it because you can't screw up a kielbasa too.
Wow. I mean, the kielbasa itself is great.
I love kimchi. You know, the fermented vegetables on it is just absolute killer.
Really?
But kielbasa is just out of this world. Anyone. I made 100 pounds at Easter time. My favorite comes out of Connecticut called Rosal's. You have to drive down there and get it. But everybody's got a kielbasa recipe. There's New York style, there's Chicago style, Long Island, but wherever you go in different parts of the country or areas. But kielbasa is so good. I made one that has a little more white pepper. I tried to emulate there, so I made 40 pounds, gave it to friends, and I did 60 more pounds and added more white pepper, and I hit it just right there.
You must have friends who really
love
you.
They do. They remember it. They're all on the list.
So it's like Sinatra's house. Yep. They're always hanging around. You know?
We feed everybody.
Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel are our guests, 800-348-2551. You know, I'm thinking maybe a little of that cheese will go with my next piece of kielbasa.
Sure. Absolutely.
Could I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's go to the phones again, and we'll go to Bruce in Albany. Bruce, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to follow up on the freezing garlic and pesto.
Okay. All right, fine.
We do it regularly, particularly this time of year. We'll be harvesting our basil and nasturtium leaves and making up pesto.
Yeah.
And then we freeze them up in ice cube trays and put the bags in the freezer. And in March, February, we'll be pulling them out and having fresh pesto taste like you just made it that day.
That sounds like a real smart idea.
Not bad.
And we've never had a problem with the garlic freezing.
You know, that's a great idea. And, Bruce, thank you for that. And, Darby, you're a radio pro.
I am.
Yeah, because Tony and I were chewing.
You were
chewing. You jumped in. Hey, that's a great idea. I was looking at you saying, something.
I'm looking at both of you. I'm like,
I got to say something.
We like to eat.
Yeah, you're made for this business. All right, back to the phones. By the way, the cheese with the kielbasa.
Was that good?
Oh, yeah. I got to have another bite. Emily in Marlboro. Emily, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have two quick questions. The first is, please excuse my naiveness, but I usually use salt for medicinal reasons, like just from, you know, the minerals, which is why I use the Himalayans.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you make all these salts, I just want to get clear. All these salts that you're making are just flavorful, and the reason you use them is to add flavor as opposed to they're having some medicinal value that I don't know about. So that was my first question. And then my second question is, I love kimchi. I love it. I scour the health food stores for really good kimchi. So if you have a kimchi you'd like to recommend, that would be awesome.
All right. First of all, you're not a doctor, right?
No.
I knew that.
And I don't dispense advice.
But okay.
I'll let you know that.
Well, when I say medicinal, I mean, you know, just simple minerals. I don't mean, you know, something's wrong with me and I use
right. Health benefits potentially and nutrition and such. Yeah.
It's a good way to get those elements of minerals that you don't get everywhere. That's why I said there's 60 minerals and elements in the salt that your body needs every day and really assimilates it. So if you don't have a lot of salt, you're missing some things. And the pink Himalayan is a good way to get it.
Not basic table salt, sea salts.
Yeah.
Your table salt's only sodium and chloride with an anti-caking agent, which is bitter, it's terrible, it ruins food, so it's poisonous as far as we're concerned.
And what was the second part, Emily?
The kimchi.
Oh, yeah.
The kimchi.
We go to farmer's markets. There's one in West Rockbridge. It's Hosta Hill. They make all sorts of fermented things, but I had a jar of that, and I got it home, and I had a pastrami sandwich. And I says, please put me on it.
Really?
So I made my pastrami sandwich. Then I said, I'm going to put this on the kielbasa when I butterfly
it. See, I never would think that in a million years.
Oh, it's so good.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Huh.
You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, kimchi is great. Thank you very much.
Emily, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. You know, some people can't have salt. Do you do a substitute?
Not really. I don't know. We do a no salt mix, probably one of our top sellers.
So it's Tuscan garlic, no salt blend.
We have another one called Tucson Salt.
Can I try that?
Salt.
Is it open?
Sure.
Let's put a little on my hand, like I'm doing a shot of tequila here, which has been done before on this
put
program.
Put it on a cucumber.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea. You know, I got to tell you, I'm really not skilled. I can't even open this thing.
That's right. Just grind it. It's all set.
I work in radio. I can't figure out how
to
open it. Oh, look at that.
I'll put some on for you.
Yeah, let's put some on the chair. So when Brian Shields does Northeast Report in a little bit, he'll be well seasoned.
It's in my lap.
He's a seasoned broadcaster. Let's try. All right, on a cucumber. Thank you.
That's we're in the salt and pepper business, so to speak. But that's our number two seller is a no salt.
Really?
A lot of people ask for no salt. Salt.
I like salt better.
I spent some time last year figuring out what to put in it, what not to put in it. This version has oregano in it, more Italian things like garlic, onion,
it's got
chives,
some,
parsley.
It's got flavor.
We make a version with no oregano. It's kind of sweet with some a little bit of citrus in it. It's very popular also.
Let's go back to the phones here, and let's go to Kathy in New Hartford, New York. Kathy, you're on. How are things in New Hartford?
It's beautiful, beautiful sky.
Excellent.
I have a question. I make chickpeas from the raw, crude chickpeas all the time. One of the things I make when I prepare these chickpeas is hummus. Every time I make the hummus, it's got a sharp bite to it when it's prepared. I'm pretty sure it's the garlic. Do you have any suggestions?
Are they your own chickpeas or you're doing canned chickpeas?
No, I go the dried chickpeas always.
Okay.
I go right to the crude product.
I make a fair amount of hummus, and I use canned stuff with it. I use a lot of black garlic. I made a black garlic hummus, but it was absolute killer. I don't know what to do to sweeten that up for you. You may want to try roasting the garlic. Might get a little bit sweeter. Put that in your hummus. That may tone that down a little bit. I wouldn't put any sweetener
in it. Okay, it just has a bite to it, a sharp bite, that when you go to a restaurant or if you buy the commercially prepared brands, you just don't get that bite. And as I said, I use them in many chickpeas and a lot of different preparations. And it's only in the hummus. So I know that ingredient is the garlic, because the other lemon, salt, pepper,
You could try a different garlic, like maybe that purple glazer I like, because it's not as hot or spicy. It's a nice moderate garlic.
That's a good idea.
An elephant garlic is not really a garlic, but it's a member of the family. That's a little bit lighter also and a little bit sweet. That may work a little bit better for you with your particular chickpea.
Okay, I'll give it a try. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel of Rolling Rock Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts. So you're obviously, you have a mania about garlic. And there are these garlic festivals all over the place. There are many people like you. What is it about garlic that makes people just so religious?
Well, garlic is good. And when people,
well, it is good.
The way we tease them to come in, we put the hucklebuck on them, so to speak. Do you like garlic? And we get three answers. Love it. Who doesn't? So at least two out of three usually like it.
I don't know too many people who
not many us. So
not
many love it.
It's amazing, though.
Now, I haven't been to one of these garlic festivals, but I'm told there are chocolate garlic desserts things. How can you do that?
Ice cream. Really?
Not me. I like the regular garlic vinegar, the different garlics with everything. The garlic is sweet. I made garlic applesauce so last year. It came out pretty good.
Really?
That was good.
It was surprising because you would never guess how it came out. I just took apples and garlic, and that's all I did.
What's the worst combination you've ever come up with where Darby just said, oh, never again?
I don't have it. Too many
crappers
at all.
I'm not big on garlic shots. A lot of people take
garlic shots.
Oh,
love them.
It's for the herbs and, I mean, the...
So what booze do you put in?
Nothing. You just, it's...
Garlic.
Garlic and vinegar.
Apple cider
vinegar.
Not the kind of shots, I'm sorry.
No, not the kind
of shots I'm thinking of.
If you take a shot a day of that, you'll never get sick. Mince up. Couple cloves of garlic.
Wait, hypodermic needle shots?
No. It's a shot glass.
Oh, a shot glass. I see.
Mince up your garlic.
You might as well put some booze in it.
Apple cider. You probably could put some booze in there.
Really?
And put some honey in. But that's the elixir of life. It's killer. It's so good.
All right, let's go to Debbie in Malta. Debbie, you're on.
Hi. I got to say very quickly that Ray and Alan are two of my favorite people in the whole world.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
I can't go
a day without you.
Thank you.
And now you're going to have to gasp. This is like a setup, because the reason I called is that I don't like garlic.
No way.
And
see, they do exist.
And I want you to help me out to say, rather than... leaving it out of a recipe, can you tell me what I could put in that might be a substitution that would have a different flavor but would still add a spice or an herb to the recipe?
Are you okay with onions or leeks or
I'm not
shallots?
Real crazy about them, but shallots are pretty much okay. Onion, if it's not too strong.
Go to your shallots then. I just made a shallot salt a couple weeks ago, and I bottled this up last night. That was so odorous. It was so nice. There was a smell to it. It's completely different on the back of the label. It's not like your onion. It's not like your garlic. I remember the alien family, but it was so unique and different. I would go with that.
Shallot salt.
Like, that yeah. sounds good.
What do you name that one?
Named after my ex-wife, Sharon. It's Sharon Succulent Sale Shallot Salt.
So you named it after your ex-wife. Yeah. How nice. Thank you for that. Sorry I asked.
She still loves me.
It's okay.
Thanks, Debbie.
But is it a little bit sweet?
It is. It's got it's a nice flavor with some sweetness and not overly sweet.
Okay.
I think you'll love it.
That sounds great. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend,
you
guys.
You too. Thanks. Bye. 800-348-2551. Well, I'm sorry I brought that one up.
Oh, it's okay. It was a good thing.
Yeah, you're all right with it?
We're all friends.
You know,
Darby, you're a very understanding woman, aren't you?
we really like her.
Life's too short to...
Exactly.
The zen of garlic and the zen of spices here. All right, let's go to George and Claverick. George, you're on.
Hey, thanks so much. I wanted to ask you guys, you always hear that when you take salt, actually it increases your blood pressure. I've been reading in a lot of magazines that the Himalayan pink salt decreases your your blood pressure. Have you heard anything like that at all?
Absolutely. 90% of people, it will reduce your blood pressure. And the sea salts will do it also. Your table salt's terrible. We did a market in Boston last year, an open-end market. We had a doctor come in. Every other week we went there. She'd buy 8 or 10 salts for her patients and show me a picture and tell them.
Oh, okay. Something wrong with the phone there. You know, just from our legal standpoint here, we're not suggesting that if you're on a low-salt diet
check
with your doctor first, right?
Exactly.
No lawsuit. Check with your doctor.
You're smart. Let's go to Matt in Albany. Matt, you're on.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Good. So my friend recently turned me on to making my own popcorn. But yeah, but putting it in the pan and you pop it yourself and then adding your own spices. And recently, it seems to be a theme I'm playing out here, but garlic is amazing. So I made garlic parm popcorn recently and it came out okay. But I was wondering if you guys had any additional flavored popcorn ideas, different spices you could use on popcorn. To kind of spice it up. So
I'll hang up here
and let you guys talk.
All right,
you can do anything. We've got a salt that's as honey salt. We had a maple salt as our popcorn salt. They made honey. They did honey and maple salt. Any one of those combinations. But I've got something I discovered last week. Last year I made a cilantro salt last year, and a woman kept buying 2 or 3 every week, and it wasn't until the end of summer. And I says, I'm not being nosy, but why are you buying cilantro salt every week? She says, I buy it for apples. And give it to my friends. They have an apples. Fine. And
really?
Salted ice cream apples or sweet regular. She loved green apples with it on it. So I got the idea to add cinnamon to it and call it Apple Happy. It come out so nice. It was one of the very most aromatic salts. I just sold some to a cider mill in Ohio, Moe's Cider Mill. And they bought it just to have that. She tried it, fell in love with it. I had half a jar left last week. I was doing popcorn. I said, you know what? I'm going to put it in the popcorn. It blew me away.
Really?
Unbelievable.
I'm not a big cilantro. I mean, some people really don't like cilantro.
It's not a killer cilantro. It's a mild cilantro, but the cinnamon takes over a little bit. Then, so if it works on that, I put it on corn and a cob next day. It was unbelievable.
So the stuff that you call Corn Fest, pop and cob corn topping, is honey and maple.
That's just
and
honey
sea
and maple.
No garlic in
it. Just honey and maple. It's not overly sweet like a candy corn, but just enough to give you a touch of sweetness with it. But having real salt on your popcorn or corn on a cob is so much better than your table salt. Actually, if anybody uses that, they're ruining their corn, they're ruining their popcorn.
Yeah. All right, over to Chuck in Castleton. Chuck, you're on with Tony Carlotto and Darby Weigel.
Yeah, hey, sorry, I got a bad phone. Maybe you can hear.
Yeah, we're okay.
You're good.
80% of what I got to say. Tip of the lifetime, I invented it. That lady with the garbanzo beans and the hummus. Pickled garlic sandwich, raw garlic by the handful. Take 4, 5, 6, 8 cloves of garlic. Unpeel, put them in the microwave. Nuke them from about 8 to 10 seconds. You'll have the best hummus you ever had in your life. It gets rid of all the bitterness.
Great tip. I know that takes the starch out of garlic by putting the microwave.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, we heard you, Chuck. Thank you very much. So that's a good idea.
Yeah, very good.
All right, we only have a couple of minutes here. Let's go to Episiano in Albany.
Yes.
You're on.
Yes, I would like to know how many thousands of years the garlic is in the diet of humans.
How many what?
How long? Say it again.
How many thousands of years the garlic is in the diet of humans.
So how long have people been eating garlic?
5,000 years at least. It's one of the oldest known things. China produces most garlic in the world by far.
And is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good garlic, right. The stuff you see in the supermarkets is Chinese garlic's been bleached and treated, but no, I'm sure in China that people know how good that is, but garlic's been around for so long. I wrote an ode to garlic. If you go to my website.
What is the website, by the way?
RollingRockSalt.com.
RollingRockSalt.com.
4 years ago, it just came to me in 20 minutes. It's a nice ode to garlic.
Can you recite it for us?
Okay, it's so long.
It's probably dirty, too, right?
No, it's
all
right. It's so good.
It's a life cycle of a garlic.
From the days of pharaohs, I put in there.
All right, so once again, the website is RollingRockSalt.com. Well, this was
prepared to be entertained.
This was fun. This was really a great time. It went fast, right?
It did.
So hopefully you'll stick around for a few more minutes you will record our podcast with Dave Hopper and Ashley Kinsey, and it's called
Let's See.
Second Helping, I think. Leftovers.
Okay.
I had another name for it that's even more wrong. All right, Tony and Darby, thank you for being here today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much. That's fun.
Support for WAMC comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer. BlueHeronDining.com. Big Y, family-owned and operated with Big Y Express stations in Lee and Pittsfield, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tasting Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. And Windy Hill Farm, nursery, orchard, and garden shop, Great Barrington, offering hearty mums, flowering cabbage and kale, fall blooming perennials, and over 20 varieties of hydrangea, windyhillfarming.com. Thanks again to Tony and Darby for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Barb King. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Hope you have a great holiday weekend. No Vox Pop on Monday, as far as I know, unless Alan wants to come in, but I think he's going to take the day off. So we'll be back on Tuesday. Alan will have an open forum, and the news is next.